Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Welcome back to Saturday's Off the Ball. Mountain climbing. What a totally indulgent and pointless waste of time. And to think it's so-called mature adults who do it doesn't seem too far removed from kids climbing trees. At least the kids have the excuse that they are kids, is one of the text messages. To our Saturday panel, with three men who climbed Everest. He just compared it to kids climbing trees. Wow. That's an angry texter of a Saturday afternoon. They're not happy with the international break. They're missing the Premier League fix.
Well, is my mic up there? I suppose there is an element of self-indulgence in it, in that it's, in order for you to succeed in this project, you have to devote an awful lot of your time to preparing yourself to get yourself in the condition to do it without actually dying. So you could say that given the amount of time you have to spend on yourself to do it, there you could accuse someone of being self-indulgent. I think it's a bit harsh if you're putting your
I don't think that is just mountain climbing where you need to be somewhat self-indulgent. That's too.
It could be anything. Anything that you dedicate yourself to in an individual pursuit in particular.
You've got to an extreme with. Yeah.
Yeah. But so, I mean, some things you could say that elite intercounty footballers and hurlers are self-indulgent because they have to devote so much of their time to it at the expense of their families, of their friends, of their careers, of their social lives. But like, if you kind of threw that accusation at everybody, there would be an awful lot of great achievements not achieved.
What about professional footballers, Dave? Self-indulgent?
Well, it's their job.
Oh yeah. Some of them just take it to another level though, don't they?
Yes, their self-indulgence, the levels of self-indulgence go way beyond their pay packet.
Keith Andrews is here. How
good
are
afternoon.
You?
Donuts.
Did you bring some?
Yeah, I did not, no.
Is that an insult? I'm not quite sure. How's life?
Very well, very well. Just come from Stella Maris on the 14s versus Belvedere.
Oh yeah, who won?
Belvedere won 5-0.
Ooh, are you a former Stella boy?
I am, yeah.
Oh wow.
So
what's going wrong? What's going wrong with the academy at Stella?
I don't want to get into it.
What's going wrong with Dublin youth football right now that there was one dub playing for Ireland last night?
Yeah, there was a lot made of that, wasn't there? They kept on saying, oh, four Cork-born players playing for Ireland. Look, it is what it is.
Well, we would have had Darren Randolph and Robbie Brady involved if they'd been fit.
Darren Randolph's from Wicklow.
Is he?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Is he definitely?
Well, I would have had Robbie Brady.
From Bray. Yeah, he's from Bray.
Oh, he's from Bray, yeah. Okay, Robbie Brady, so.
Jeff Hendricks.
Stephen Ward.
Stephen Ward, yeah. So you would have had a bit more of a representation. Mm. We are going to talk about the Republic of Ireland's 1-0 defeat to Turkey. Kevin Caban is going to join us in a moment as well. Let's hear from Martin O'Neill, though, first, what he had to say to RTE's Tony O'Donoghue after the game.
Martin, was it a night where, as we said earlier, the performance is more important to you than the result? Of course you'd be disappointed to lose.
Yeah, disappointed in the goal that we conceded, obviously, from the corner kick. But, you know, a couple of things that I think that we can really work on that I thought that we may be a little bit short, and other things that actually was quite impressed with.
We probably had the best chance of the first half with Scott Hogan.
I thought he might score, and he's missed the chance, but listen, he got there in the first place. And you're right, and I think that there was a penalty kick for us as well too. I think young Maguire was brought down inside the penalty area. That aside, you know, there are times when, you know, we've a number of players just coming on for a start, two or three lads making their debut. But overall, you know, there's some decent things out of the game. And as you've mentioned, results are obviously important, I think, for confidence as much as anything else. But when you see young Rice playing in the manner in which he did, it was very good.
Ronnie Whelan gave him the man of the match. Seamus Coleman presented him with the award. I think it was more or less unanimous.
I absolutely. It was in the dressing room as well too. You know, I was saying to him, he's 19 years of age. You know, that was pretty impressive for a 19-year-old.
And I know, again, the international situation, we don't have him yet as such until he plays competitively, but he seems to want to be part of the squad.
I think he does, you know, and again, until someone's absolutely and utterly over the line, then you don't want to be calling it in. But his father was there tonight as well too, so that's good news. He loves playing for us, and we'll see. I think that that sort of performance, we'd obviously want him.
Yeah, Martin O'Neill talking to RTE's Tony O'Donoghue after the Republic of Ireland were beaten 1-0 by Turkey in Antalya yesterday. Keith, this new era feels very much like the previous era.
Yeah, look, we were chatting about it a little bit on Thursday. Myself and Dave were speaking about it on my show on Thursday earlier in the day, and I was excited about certain players getting opportunities to go and shine. I didn't really expect a different style. We got a different system that the players struggled with at times. When you play that three at the back, there are a lot of grey areas and uncertain areas. The one player who was very, very comfortable in it was Declan Rice, no matter what position he played in. We'll get on to him, I'm sure. But it was a difficult game for a lot of the players. Only a few days to work on in the training ground. We know Martin, in terms of the work towards a game, sometimes it can be a little bit keep the players guessing rather than, look, this is what we're going with. We're nailing this down. And it certainly looked like that in terms of the general setup.
Yeah, Kevin Kilbane is on the line as well. Afternoon, Kev.
Hi, Nathan. How are you keeping?
Not too bad. Brian Kerr in the Irish Independent, the headline to his column is, "A shift in attitude, not the system, should be the priority for O'Neill's men." And I think that was a lot of the frustration, without anybody getting carried away. It is a friendly. There were players making their debuts. It was a change in system. But actually, there was no real change in attitude. We were still kicking the ball away time and time again. There was no real sense that actually it's a new group of players trying to do something new.
Yeah, that's fair to say it was. I think the problem that we've had for such a long time now is in the middle of the park. I really do think that. I think that is a major issue for us. I don't see anyone demanding the ball to try to get us breaking lines, is what Keith will maybe explain a little bit, breaking lines, trying to get maybe passing through thirds, passing into midfield, passing forward, keeping the ball, switching play. I just feel as though every single time I'm seeing the side over the last 2 or 3 years, there's been no one with that's really, even if you're going to make mistakes when you're taking the ball, all I see is lads just prepared just to try to continue to play in straight lines, not necessarily coming to get on the ball. And you could see it last night. I just heard Keith touching it there, Declan Rice and the lads. They were comfortable playing it along the back. It was becoming a back five at times. Maybe I think James McLean is probably a player that can play that role. I think he certainly has to work on his defensive side of his game if he does play that role long term. But I think in general, it's the middle of the pitch. I think too deep, we were allowing them to take pot shots first half too often. And it was comfortable enough, I think, as a back three, back five, however it was, how it continued. But you need to look at it. When we win the ball, that long ball forward, yes, we did have an extra man up front with Hogan playing alongside Maguire. But it was fighting balls every time, and there was no real class or no real quality that was played into Maguire or Hogan's feet.
With one exception, which was Jeff Hendricks' ball through to Scott Hogan. Hogan.
That was a through ball. It was a through ball, though, wasn't it? That was a thing. It was a breaking play. Ball come back to Jeff Hendricks. It opened up. It was a smashing ball. Lovely weighted pass. Yes, of course, he should have scored it, but it certainly gives you an indication of what can be done.
Is Jeff Hendricks becoming a bit of an issue for Martin O'Neill, Keith, in that he left Euro 2016 with such a huge reputation, went to Burnley, is performing in the Premier League? There's no questions over his position in that Burnley team, a Burnley team who are having an exceptional season. But in Ireland, in a midfield three last night, alongside Howerhan and Brown, so he's very much the senior member of that midfield three, he's not acting like that. He doesn't seem to have that within his character, that he wants to have that sort of, I don't know if it's a leadership role, but to bring it to that next extra level where he's taking on more responsibility.
See, for Burnley, he knows his role to a T. He plays the advanced role in midfield, a little bit like Alan Brown is at Preston, currently in play in terms of two sitters, and him with the license to run beyond. Not a stereotypical type of number 10, but since the Euros, Jeff hasn't hit the heights. It's as simple as that. In an Irish shirt, and we all bigged it up, we were all anticipating the next campaign, he very much hasn't hit those heights. Last night, I felt the midfield was too similar. As soon as Declan Rice goes into midfield, he was that link with the composure to be able to start the phases of attack and show that composure on the ball. Whereas last night, I said to you on Thursday, Dave, I think Alan Brown and Jeff Hendrick are similar types in terms of energetic, box-to-box, run beyond, aggressive box-to-box midfielders. Conor Horan's more of a technical type midfielder, is comfortable on the ball, you've got to play in a certain way. We lacked the sitting midfielder last night to really dictate proceedings, and it's a different dynamic as well playing in front of a back three as it is a two centre halves, because you split, you go into the middle of it. They looked lost last night. You've seen Seamus Coleman trying to gesture Kevin Long into areas where he wasn't really comfortable, whereas on the far side, Declan Rice was very, very comfortable. And the midfield three, to stick to your original point and what Kev's brought up, it was a struggle for them. They were chasing shadows. They didn't know how to get on the ball, and it was a constant struggle. I felt for them at times.
When they do get on the ball, though, there isn't an option.
Sorry, Dave. Sorry. I just all I wanted to say, Dave, off the back of that, though, what Keith has said there, you can imagine yourself, you know, Keith, when you're playing in that midfield there and you're playing in a three or you're playing in a two, whatever it would be, and you're constantly coming in going, I'm chasing shadows, I can't get near them. Because it's how deep you are. So all of a sudden, you're getting passed round, you're getting passed in front. When you go and engage, you're engaging too late. So when you're engaging too late, it's easier for the opposition then to play it around you. Then one person's been sucked out of position, and that's where those stripes are coming from distance. I don't think they were a great side. I think they were quite content just to take that win last night, take the 1-0 win. But that is the problem, I think, again, in midfield. But and just the one thing I touched on before, Keith, about demanding the ball. If I was playing left-back and you were playing inside me and I go long with a pass, you'd be having a pop at me. You'd be in my ear. Kev, give me the ball, I'm on. And I don't see anyone necessarily having a go at each other on the pitch. And I've seen it for 4 or 5 years, and I've been at the games. You can clearly see that. I don't see anyone who is prepared to take the ball. And the only person that was prepared to do that was Wes Hoolahan. In tight areas, he'd take the ball, and then he'd do something else with it. Take the ball on his back foot, switch a play. I don't see, every single time one of the midfielders is taking the ball, they're taking the first touch back in towards where they've taken it, where they received the pass from, condensing play, then it's a bounce pass back to a centre-half. All they can do then, because they're under pressure, is to go long. We've got so many players in congested areas, they're able to get the ball quite comfortably and play out, and then it's just about regrouping and getting the shape back in the side.
So does that lead you to believe then, if there is no repercussions, players aren't having a go at each other for that, the manager doesn't appear to be having a go at them, that they're merely carrying out the manager's instructions then?
Well, to a degree they are, yeah. And you keep saying about these grey areas with that system, but it's not just this system, obviously. So last night, there was opportunities, for instance, if you think about Shane Duffy when he was playing those long balls up in the round, Maguire and Hogan, he had opportunities from a couple of deeper free kicks just inside our half to play Kevin Long. I don't really remember the one he was pulling into an area, as in, come on, let's play. Whereas Shane Duffy is the more vocal, the more experienced. He's like, no, this is what we're doing. This is what has given us success in the past. We're going long in a diagonal. We're backing things up. We've got midfielders that will get on the front foot and cause the problems and play from there. Whereas that in itself should have been ironed out during the week.
But there were the personnel to play that system were not on the field last night.
Absolutely.
So it's a complete waste of time.
Yeah.
So
I totally
why
agree.
Is it? Why are they doing it? If we'd lost 4-0 last night and found ourselves exposed and opened up by the Turkish side by virtue of the fact that we were trying to play football in slightly riskier areas, I don't think many people would have had a major issue with it.
Yeah, I totally.
There was no pressure on this game.
Barring in the build-up last
game.
Night, what was talking to Tony O'Donoghue, and he was basically saying, we'll get the ammunition from wide areas. Seamus Coleman, as we know, when he's on form, he's one of our most creative players. James McLean, if we can get him further up, and it's always a toss of a coin with the wing backs. Are they going to end up like a back five? We struggled to get James in the game.
How
at
do you
all.
Prevent your wing backs just becoming auxiliary fullbacks?
I played that role for years, like you win back
and very well shit. Kevin, because actually I'll interrupt you, Brian Kerr was writing about you in the paper today. He said, while the welcome of return of Coleman was characteristically smooth, Ireland certainly don't extract the maximum from McLean in this system, and it's difficult to see him emerging into a player like Kevin Kilbane, who made the transition much more easily.
Son of Kerr.
Well, no, I'm not saying that, but I used to love playing that role. I played it a lot for the 21s, and The one thing that was constantly even barked at me, the side, Ian Evans was my 21 manager. I played it maybe even a couple of times on the Mick at senior level. The one thing that said to me, Kev, don't mark him that side. Don't mark him goal side. Get the other side of him. Make him make a decision for you. Start to maybe test the boundaries. Play a little bit of cat and mouse. And it is difficult when you've got someone like Declan Rice who's inexperienced, and he might need that little bit more support. That might be in James McLean's head. But if I'm James McLean the other night, I'm thinking, right, if that switch is coming on over here, we've got a 2-on-1 from a defensive point of view, we're comfortable. comfortable. So if he gets it in comfortable position, he's going to have to beat me, then he's going to have to beat Declan Rice. There's not an issue. He's going to go over my head. So I'll tell you what, I'll go in advance of him here. So let's get him thinking. Let's see what he's going to do. I understand at times you do have maybe that cautious side of it because you don't want to be the one that makes the mistake. But that playing as a wing back, you've almost got a free hit at it because you've got other players around you that can support you. So you've got the freedom of the pitch. Sometimes you might not see the ball. You might not get on the ball at times. You might see the game go 10, 15 minutes go by and you might just have to do a disciplined job, sit in, yes, okay. But when when you win the ball, say it be Keith or whoever it be playing in midfield, and Seamus Coleman, for instance, say it would be on the ball, switch it into midfield, the out ball has to be the left-sided wing back. It has to be. And it's not a difficult ball. Keith will tell you that. I don't think it's a difficult ball really to switch play. If you've got it out your feet, you're taking the ball on your back foot, switch play. Your wing back is your out ball. And that is where I think when you're playing that system and you're overly cautious with it and you want to become a back five, you end up sitting so deep. If it goes long, you've got no support in wide areas and you've got a hell of a long way to travel to try to get in support. That's what I used to find. And so it was almost if you've got to be a little bit more proactive with your position, you've got to say, I tell you what, I'm close enough to him that if he gets it, I'm going to go nail him on a switch. But if we do win the ball back, I am that out ball. So you can switch it instantly out to me on the left-hand side.
And does that actually then, if the full-backs and the wing-backs are doing that, does that change everything? That we are more, that we're not reactive to what the opposition are doing? That actually we're going out and imposing our game plan that we've worked on during the week and saying, this is what we're about.
Yeah,
because
we're
it does feel as though, home or away, our opposition dictate how the game is going to be played and we sort of respond to that and try and contain them rather than saying
we
after 4 years of O'Neill
side,
going this is what we do.
We are a reactive side without a shadow of a doubt. I actually felt the left hand side was better suited because of Declan Rice being more comfortable in those grey areas. He was the one, if you think about it, stepping out at times, engaging players in that area where centre halves maybe don't want to go into, and as he's going out he's looking around, aware of what's around and pointing at, you take him. After half an hour, 45 minutes yesterday, it was very obvious that Kevin Long wasn't comfortable stepping into those areas. So a simple solution would have been, I think you mentioned on tours, could you play be push Seamus Coleman as the right-sided centre-half, a little bit like England did last night with Kyle Walker, put Matt Doherty. So Seamus very comfortable coming into wide areas. That's what you need for your centre-halves. In its back three, they need to be comfortable going into that, and sometimes you play it like a fullback.
Rice was so impressive on the ball that already people are talking about actually maybe he needs to be a central midfielder for Ireland. Richard Dunn was saying it at the game that he feels he has that Roy Keane type quality on the ball, that he can be the one player that drives us forward from central midfield. And Kevin, we saw right at the start of the season, opening day, Old Trafford, West Ham against Manchester United, they're being dominated and he comes on for the last half an hour in midfield, and I think both of us sort of stood up straight away and thought, who is this guy who's demanding the ball at Old Trafford from more senior players in the middle midfield and turning and playing it forward? So he can do that, but then on the other side, we were at Wembley for the night Spurs played West Ham and he kept Harry Kane pretty quiet, and Kenny Cunningham was insistent that he's a centre-back, he's at his best when he's facing the play, when he can see the entire pitch in front of him, and that's where he'll be able to control things from. So where do you see it going?
Well, it's great options for Martin O'Neill that he can actually play in the two positions, but I think the big worry, again, is what I'm saying. I think when, as I said before, I think it is in midfield. We don't have players that's prepared to take it. As soon as Declan Rice steps into midfield, preparing to take the ball, body shape's all right, taking it on the back foot, prepared to switch play. There was a few little interchanges of play, a couple of even little 1-2s around.
Hendrick, wasn't it?
Yeah, with Jeff Hendrick, it was. Just nice little bits of play. It didn't happen regularly, but you see it and you...
He's been silenced.
To go forward.
Go on, Kev, you're just breaking up there for a minute.
No, sorry. Yeah, I'm just saying there's potential there just to say, well, I'll tell you what, that is where he can actually play that role. That is where he might be best equipped. Only in the simple fact is, we don't have anyone that is preparing to take that ball. I saw the three lads yesterday, Alan Brown and Keith, spot on what he's saying. Alan Brown and Jeff Hendrick have been playing in a similar sort of role. I've seen Alan Brown play as a two for Preston North End, but when he's played as a two, invariably through the game, if whether it be Simon Grayson or Alex Neil change the system, he's the one that has to go further forward if they're getting overrun in midfield, because he's got energy, he can get round, he can close down really well. So you're playing those two in, you know, a left and right, or however it's going to go, or as a sitting midfielder, you're going to struggle, I think, to really get one of those two players that's going to come and demand the ball and take it. Where Declan Rice can do that. He can actually come and get the ball. And as you say there, when we watched him at Old Trafford for West Ham, he was actually preparing to take it, pass it forward, prepared to take it and switch the play. Now, even if it's a roll pass from a right back into midfield, switch it out to the left back, whatever it would be, it certainly just changes the whole dynamic of the game. And we don't. I've not seen anyone that's been doing that for us for quite a while now. And that is my big worry.
I think for the here and now, he has to play midfield because of the options that we have in there.
Say everybody's available. Do we have any other player who can do that?
James McCarthy.
And that's
yeah,
it.
James
so
McCarthy.
While he's out injured, you feel Declan Rice
Rice for the here and now and for the next couple of years until the options change to whoever's going to be in charge. He has to play the hole because
Harry Arthur could be that player at one stage.
No, not for me. Not an absolute holder with defensive instincts as well. So that can do both sides of it. Shielding, screening, tracking, but also in an attacking sense, get that first phase of attack with composure on the ball. Now, I think it's an important time because if it doesn't go to plan at West Ham, which I don't think will happen, but if he doesn't get enough game time, that doesn't matter for me. We have to make this fella now our priority. He plays no matter what. We make his club career off the back of what he's doing internationally because he's that good. He genuinely is that good. To go from that position, left-sided centre-half, he's right-footed, to just slot into midfield, I'm telling you, it's so impressive.
Is there any part of you that would fear him being corrupted eventually by this environment, the way these games are being played, by the lack of the reluctance on behalf of his teammates to actually help him play the way that he clearly likes to play and is capable of playing? And so 20 caps in, he's actually the midfielder that has his back to the back four and the goalkeeper when goal kicks or free kicks have been taken or the ball's been rolled out by the goalkeeper and he's got no interest in receiving it with his back to a guy who's right up against him trying to take it off him.
You can never say now, but it just doesn't look like that. He's so good. He carries out the orders. You know, Martin said after the game he wants centre-half stepping in and playing.
So now, why isn't it happening then?
Right.
Are they working on it every day when they're training?
No, probably not.
The quotes from Seamus Coleman after the game were interesting. He was talking about Irish players being more composed on the ball. That's where, over time, we need to get it right. We needed to be a bit more comfortable on the ball and show for the ball as individuals, and hopefully that will come. But it will only come if that's the very specific instruction coming from the management team for the entire week.
Declan Rice steps in. Declan Rice is that good that he will go into a congested area. Kevin Long steps in. He doesn't have to do it at Burnley. He steps into a relatively safe area and he knows his out ball. He knows if he's in danger, it's going on a little diagonal to Ashley Barnes. Yesterday, he was conservative because he didn't want to step into that area because he knew, or he didn't know, I should say, where his option was
exactly.
going to
so
be.
You don't know what the next move is going to be. So would you hope that if there's a Declan Rice, we certainly saw this when with Wes Hoolahan over the years, the time he spent on the pitch, that the whole team seemed to spring into life around the ball when Wes got himself on the ball with regularity because they knew that this is the way we're going to play because he's here. So suddenly Wes looks up and he has an option. Like, Wes can't do what he's doing if there's absolutely nobody to pass to.
Yeah.
So if Declan Rice suddenly has one or two options and Kevin Long knows, well, if I give it to Declan Rice and it comes back to me, well, Hendrick or Arthur or McCarthy or Brown, they're going to have put themselves in a position to receive the ball as well. And suddenly everybody's playing the same way.
Well, it's a trigger from a different part of the pitch, isn't it? Wes doing it from a more advanced area, whereas Declan Rice, he's already shown it. He's shown it for the 21s playing centre midfield. I genuinely think long term, his best position will be centre half. But for the here and now, he has to play centre midfield for us.
Again, going back almost to the first point, go on, Kev.
Keith, he could play as a right sider anyway, and you could actually play Kieran Clark, who has played as a natural left back as well.
So he's comfortable stepping out.
If he is to step out or is to get into a one-on-one position out wide, that would seem a better balanced side to me.
All of that is pretty damning, again, on somebody like Jeff Hendrick and even Howerton and Brown, who are a bit more experienced, that a 19-year-old can come in and he's the one who's making things tick.
He's a gifted player, Nathan. He's really, really gifted. And I go back to Hendrick and Brown. They're very similar. They're not used to getting the ball directly off, you know, centre halves or full backs. They're used to playing club level on the front foot, slightly direct both systems at Preston and at Burnley.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of pressure is going to come on Declan Rice's shoulders over the coming months, and why not? He's looking at his statistics. He's the youngest player to start a game in the Premier League this season. He started 9 times already for West Ham, and he's only turned 19. So we should put some pressure and get excited about this guy.
From everything you hear about him, the lad speaking about him in the camp all week, not a problem. Bring it on.
Even his post-match interview was brilliant. Just seems to actually love it.
No issue whatsoever. And I would have been one of those that would have been a little bit worried in the last few weeks in terms of, is he going to turn up? What's the crack? Because it was radio silence. I don't think he needs to know. I think he's in. That's it.
All right.
Do you know what?
Go on.
Just a quick one in relation to the youth though as well. You'll need to look at how it was embraced from Richard Dunn, Damien Duff, Robbie Keane when they were teenagers getting into the squad. How they embraced it. It was almost as if, right, bring it on. I'm ready for this now. So that's what Declan Rice, it seems to me, judging from last night, he's got that same sort of mentality.
Kev, you're going to stay on the line and we're going to chat. We might even chat about Shawnee Maguire and Scott Hogan, which we didn't really get to as yet. We're going to talk about a few more things as well, looking ahead to the World Cup and some of the friendlies from last night. Keith, you've got to leave. He's going to Tomb Raider. It's on at 3:15. He's going to Tomb Raider. He just texted me and said, I've got to be gone at 3 o'clock. I'm going to Tomb Raider. So we got to let him go. It's all right. We're having a good conversation about football, but it's fine. Is that your fire alarm, Kevin?
No.
It's a very squeaky chair then.
Is it? No. I'm just chilling out here in the house. No dramas.
That's all right. Go. Nice. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Alicia Vikander, is that her name? Married to Michael Fassbender?
No,
I did. Laura Croft.
I'm going for the popcorn.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.